So it's batch number two of local news and features. It's Timbo and Uta. I almost said Liz then. It's Timbo and Uta. They look very different. So why I did that, I don't know. Anyway, we've got four more news stories for you from the local area. And Uta's stories coming up are...
Well, there is a pub award for a Stoke-on-Trent pub. And then we have fears of 24/7 partying, but it's dismissed as student flats complex coming to Woolstanton.
Okay, my two coming up are Trentham Estate issues statement as dogs to be banned from the garden centre, and nightmare Hanley Council flat tenant evicted after years of disrupting neighbours' lives. So over to Uta now, who's going to do the first story for us in batch number two.
Okay, here we go. It's Stephen Buckley wins Stoke-on-Trent Pub Award, and you will recognise his legendary grun. A historic Stoke-on-Trent boozer has bagged Camra's prestigious Pub of the Month award, all thanks to its authentic traditional decor and wide selection of beers. The Golden Cup Inn is no stranger to praise, having also won Camra's Pub of the Year award in 1980 and 2000. Owner Stephen Buckley has worked in the hospitality industry for 25 years, but got his start working at the Golden Cup Inn when he was a teenager. His grandmother, Betty Buckley, had served as a landlady from 1952 until her retirement in 1991. Control of the Bass-owned pub was then handed over to other landlords until Stephen bought the building back in 2017. The 44-year-old has since lavished £250,000 into refurbishing the pub to its former glory, eventually welcoming back eager punters in 2022. Stephen of Cheshire told Stoke-on-Trent Live, "It was just like my nun's house growing up. I've got so many memories here. It's meant a lot to continue the tradition. Places like this are a dying breed, and it's been so nice to bring it back from the ashes. I've been in the industry for years. I've had bars and nightclubs, but this is something very different. It used to be a brewery-owned venue. It was always a bass pub, which you can tell just by looking at the front of it. It's an attractive tiled frontage, believed to be absolutely unique to this particular venue. When I bought the building back, it was really run down. But I set about restoring it back to its original glory. Some of the original wall tiling was still present in the doorway, so I had casts made of each tile and colour. I put these replicas back into the interior, so everything you see in there now is how it looked around 100 years ago." Stephen's grandmother, Betty, was the longest-serving landlady in the pub's history. During that time, she became a notable figure in the local community. "My nun was massively known," Stephen explained. "She was respected for running a good house, and because she was there for nearly 40 years, lots of people got to know her in that time. She was known for her beer. People loved the quality of her pour. She wasn't all she did, though. She used to be a bit of a community bookkeeper. The coal shafts weren't far from the pub, believe it or not. All of the workers from the mines would come across here on a Friday after their shifts to collect their wage checks from the Golden Cup. Similarly, all the workers from Weatherby's pottery factory down the road would come in too. So it was a very busy place, a real hub of society." Betty was also a long-time supporter of the Campaign for Real Ale, who presented the award. In fact, she donated the very trophy barrel the organisation presents to winners of the Pub of the Month award back in July 1980. Stephen said, "Camra didn't have a trophy mascot." Camra is, by the way, the organisation. "Camra didn't have a trophy mascot. They used to just give people a certificate and that was it. But she donated this so it could be presented to each winner for a month. She won it back on quite a few occasions, and now it's returned to us again. It's lovely that something May or my nun has given to the industry has found its way back to us again. Now Stephen is looking to continue serving up a traditional experience for many years to come. When asked what made his family pub special, he added, "What's so adorable here is that the customers are just phenomenal. We get a really nice clientele in here, which is quite unique. We are a little bit out of town, but we have some lovely dedicated regulars who really make the place feel warm and special. Over to you, Timbo.
Wonderful stuff. So my first story takes us to Trentham Estate, where they issue a statement as dogs are to be banned from the garden centre. One of Stoke-on-Trent's biggest tourist attractions now has urged customers to direct their feedback elsewhere over a decision to ban dogs from a garden centre. Pets have always been welcome in Trentham Garden Centre and the grounds of Trentham Estate, and there's even a special area for them in one of the cafes. But dogs are now to be barred from the garden centre from the end of June. The news has been confirmed in a series of customer notices erected in the store. Now Trentham Estate has confirmed that the decision has been made by Blue Diamond, which runs the branch. A spokesperson said, "Thank you for addressing your concerns. Blue Diamond is stopping dogs entering their store at Trentham and other Blue Diamond branches from the end of June. Rules for the rest of Trentham Shopping Village and Garden remains the same. This is not a decision made by Trentham Estate. Please contact Blue Diamond directly with any concerns or feedback," who have said they will respond to all messages. The dog ban has not gone down well with many customers. One Stoke-on-Trent Live reader said, "Very silly move. Clearly dog owners that aren't sensible in picking up their dog mess are ruining it for everybody else. We've been coming to the store for over 6 years with our rescue dog and never caused any issues. Sadly, we are a family that take our dog to most places with us, including pub meals, cafes that cater for dogs, and this is a real shame and sadly won't be returning. Big mistake. You will lose a lot of customers." Another added, "There will be a lot like ourselves who will not visit or will reduce the amount of visits following this ban. The smaller shops will suffer due to this decision." And a third said, "If my dog can't go, I won't go. Your loss of custom, your choice." However, other Stoke-on-Trent Live readers have welcomed the move. One said, "Thank goodness for that. I have no problem with dogs, but I'm fed up of seeing some owners who have no control whatsoever over their animals. You have to be careful so you don't trip over them because of their owners not looking whatsoever what their dog is actually doing. I think it's absolutely disgusting when they sit on tables when people have to eat off them. There is plenty of outdoor spaces for them." And a second added, "I have to say I'm pleased with that decision. I have severe allergies to dogs and have to carry medication with me in case a dog is not controlled properly and gets within range of triggering a reaction. Some people are highly sensitive to fur, which can affect their breathing, that hospitalisation is required. Thank you, Trentham, for considering us with allergies to animals, and the increase in dogs in the shopping village scares me to death." The notice states, "We strive to create a welcoming and enjoyable shopping experience for everyone who visits our centres. After carefully considering customer feedback, this garden centre will no longer allow dogs from June the 30th. Assistance dogs are welcome throughout the centre, and we appreciate your cooperation and understanding." So over to Uta, who is going to do her next story for us in batch number two.
Yes, and it's about the fears of 24/7 partying, which was dismissed as student flats complex coming to Woolstanton. Student flats are set to be built on the site of a garage despite objections from neighbours. The Midden Liverpool Limited has secured outline planning permission for accommodation for 16 students on the site of Clive Beach Motors in Pitt Green Lane in Woolstanton. But a more detailed planning application covering the design and appearance of the proposed building will need to be approved before construction can start. 8 residents objected to the application, raising concerns over parking, noise and disruption. They also argued that Woolstanton is not an appropriate place for student accommodation, with no direct bus connection to either Keele University or University of Staffordshire. But planning committee members at Newcastle Borough Council, while sympathising with these concerns, said they had no choice but to grant outline permission, as a refusal would probably be overturned on appeal. A similar application for student accommodation on the site was approved in 2019, but never carried out. Indicative plans for a new development show a 2.5-storey building. What's a 2.5-storey building? Open roof, I suppose. With 16 ensuite bedrooms, a communal area, and parking for 8 vehicles. The exact design of the building will need to be approved through a reserved matters application. Robert Heaney, one of the objectors, told the planning committee that Wilstanton is the wrong location for student flats. He said, "We don't think it's sympathetic or respectful to the character and history of the area. Wilstanton is not a student residential area. Staffordshire University students tend to live in Shelton or Henley, where there's cheap accommodation. Kiel students have fantastic accommodation in Kiel, but it's very expensive, so the student communities will be around Silverdale and Newcastle. They have a fantastic bus service to Kiel, but we don't have anything like that in Wilstanton." Residents also suggested that 8 parking spaces would not be enough for 16 students. Phil Taylor from the applicant's architects, T&T Architectural Design Limited, argued that the development would give a boost to Wilstanton and its businesses. He said, "I think this would benefit the local economy. We're quite near the retail area and the pubs. This could benefit Wilstanton. It's not just going to be 24/7 partying. It's a residential area and we're promoting good, sustainable use of that site." Committee members raised concerns over issues such as parking and the size of the proposed building. Planning officers told them that these points would be considered following submission of the reserved matters application. Councillor Andrew Fear proposed approval of the outline application. He said, "I can't say I'm very happy about this, but I cannot personally see how any other decision can be made without opening us up to very strong grounds for challenge. But I would like to stress that we're parking variation to be there, that our officers do flag that to ward members, and that this committee has sight of the final design proposals so that we can pass our consideration on them." Now it's over to you, Timber.
Wonderful. So my next story now is a nightmare. Henley Council flat tenant is evicted after years of disrupting neighbours' lives. A nightmare council tenant has been evicted from a block of Henley flats after years of disrupting their neighbours' lives. Families living in Matthews Walk had repeatedly complained about excessive noise and antisocial behaviour. The property had also fallen into serious disrepair, with vandalism evident on internal walls, doors damaged with holes, and a section of the ceiling had also been pulled down. Now residents can breathe a sigh of relief after Stoke-on-Trent City Council took action to force the tenant out. A formal notion for eviction proceedings was issued last year following a lengthy period of ongoing issues. The case was heard in court on January the 7th, with the formal eviction completed on March the 17th. Speaking after the case, Councillor Majid Khan, Cabinet Member for Safe and Resilient Communities, said, "This case demonstrates how the ASB team are working tirelessly to make our communities safer and more pleasant places to live. We know this specific case has been going on over a significant period of time, and we do thank the residents who persevered and helped us to gather evidence to finally get the individual evicted. We know these things can take time through the formal routes, and we want to reassure our residents that we are committed to using every legal route available to address antisocial behaviour. This eviction sends a clear message: disruptive and damaging behaviour will not be tolerated. If you continue to communicate with us and tell us of your problems in the area, we will take action. Our priority remains ensuring that everybody can live in a cleaner, greener and safer community. Residents concerned about antisocial behaviour or other issues in the neighbourhoods are encouraged to contact the City Council by going to www.stoke.gov.uk/ASB. Keep listening, got more stories for you coming up in batch number 3.